Where's your playlist taking you? Down the highway? To the mountains? Or just into daydream mode while you're stuck in traffic? With over 4,000 hotels worldwide, Best Western is there to help you make the most of your getaway. Wherever that is. Because the only thing better than a great playlist is a great trip. Life's the trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Book direct and save at bestwestern.com.
Welcome back, everybody. It is another edition of Inside Boxing Live, your favorite boxing podcast. It's presented by PPV.com. It's Dan Canobio. It's world champion Chris Algieri every single week in your ear holes, watching us on YouTube, listening to us in foreign countries all over, Chris. It is that type of show. We have that type of gravitas. How do you like that word?
Wow, do you have a vocabulary word of the day calendar going on, Dan?
Check that one off. Gravitas. We do have gravitas. It's a worldwide sport, and you never know who's listening across the country. I know we have a lot of listeners in the UK, so shout out to them. We have listeners in Belgium, which I found out this weekend. We got listeners here in the continental US. We have listeners everywhere and viewers everywhere. It's a viewer appreciation episode. Love them all.
Love you guys. You guys make this all work. Because if it wasn't for you guys, we'd be just talking into the ether, and that wouldn't benefit anyone.
I swear, I feel like sometimes we are. I kind of underestimate. It's not like we have the biggest show in the world, but we have a pretty good following. And I underestimate who exactly is listening, because people come up to me at fights in Vegas. People come up to me and be like, "Yo, I listen to your show every week," or like people that are
guys,
in the business.
For the record, you're never going to see Dan happier than when you guys come up to him. When you guys come up to him, great. When we're out, he gets very excited.
It just gives me validation, because like you said, like, I don't know who's listening out there. Who's actually listening? You can see the numbers.
A lot of people, Dan. A lot of people are listening to us.
A lot of people. So I appreciate them. So leave us a 5-star review on iTunes and subscribe on YouTube, Inside Boxing Live, all that fun stuff. PPV.com is our presenting sponsor every single week. The best place to order pay-per-views. They are the best. They have AEW Wrestling right now, taking a little, I wouldn't say hiatus, but they're boxing not too many pay-per-views in the upcoming schedule. There will be some in December, where Tank Davis supposedly will be fighting Lamont Roach. Just waiting on that word to talk about that here on the show. But there's a lot to talk about on this episode, man. There were some fights this weekend. There was a drive-by paint attack. There was a lawsuit, a battery lawsuit, filed by Devin Haney to Ryan Garcia. So yesterday, I'm getting ready to prepare for this episode, Chris, and I'm studying a battery and fraud lawsuit in boxing, and I'm studying a drive-by paint attack, and this is my life. This is my job. This is the sport we cover. What is going on?
A lot of drama. I mean, we'll get into it. Let's.
Well, we're gonna get into it. We are gonna get into it.
We are gonna get into it. And we're gonna get into the nitty gritty details. But Dan and I speak every day off air as well. And we were talking about this, the stuff that's going on. I'm like, man, Marvin Hagler's rolling over in his grave. like, what happened? What happened to the tough, gritty champion,
the Gary Cooper type? What's that?
Who settled it in the ring? Like we got people getting hit with paint on the street. We got people fighting in like the courtroom. It used to be you had a problem with a guy. Listen, we're in a sport. We could punch each other in the face. Let's do it there, and let's make a bunch of money together. Now it's, I mean, I don't know.
Let's start with the paint.
Let's start with the paint.
Never once have uttered those words here on Inside Boxing Live.
We'll start with the painting.
The paint attack. Michaela Mayer beats Sandy Ryan in the ring. Awesome fight.
Good fight.
Clubhouse leader for women's fight of the
super
year.
Super close.
Just like all high-level women's fights, very close fight. Not a knockout, not a knockdown. So you're forced with these razor-thin decisions where you don't know exactly who won it. But Mayer gets her hand raised. She beats Sandy Ryan. But as we know, that's not the biggest story from this fight. The biggest story from this fight was what the heck happened in the lead up to it, literally in the lead up on when Sandy Ryan was on her way to the venue in New York City. She was left her hotel room and she's got red paint all over her. And she claims, because we have to say claims because we don't know, someone threw paint on her. There's a picture of her standing outside with paint all over, and then got in a getaway car and drove off. Now, as we know, there was a heated buildup for this fight, all centered around a trainer and coaches, Kay Caroma, to be exact, who was Michaela Mayer's trainer for years, but they had a falling out. Now he's training Sandy Ryan. That right there is enough for Michaela Mayer to kind of lose her mind in the lead up to this fight and for them to go nuts. So Sandy Ryan's team is adamant that someone from Mayer's team threw the paint. I mean, who else really would it be? She's from the UK. I'm not saying it was Mayer's team. There's apparently closed circuit hotel camera, security cameras that are going to look into it. Eddie Hearn is launching an investigation with the NYPD, of course. Sandy Ryan did an interview with Kriegel, and she was visibly shaken up when she got to the venue.
Yeah, that's become the story. You know, when I first heard that this happened, I was like, man, that's crazy. That's weird. Okay, whatever. Now we go on fight. But then when I saw the interview, the day of the fight, you know, after it happened, and like prior to them actually getting in the ring, she was visibly, audibly shaken by the experience. That's not a good look, man. That's not cool.
I mean, there's a lot of like people out there that are like, oh, just paint. It's not like she got shot. But just think about it. Like, you're in a foreign country.
Scared.
You're in New York City. You're about to go fight. Like, it's not like you're playing a team sport. You're about to go fight. It's a way different thing than anything else, competition than anything else. And you're walking out there and someone throws red paint all over you. Yeah, it's like, it doesn't hurt, but it's just like, hurts your psyche. It shakes you up.
Yes. You know, that was the magic word there, Dan, psyche. Fight days, there's a lot going on mentally, and it's all mental. Literally, fight day is all mental because the physical is already done. And even when it comes to being in the ring, the physical is done. It's all mental at that point. The physical is in camp. The physical is getting in shape. The physical is you know, making sure that you made weight and you ate the right food and you're rehydrated and you're ready to rock. From then on, it is all psychological. And that's a really tough situation, a tough thing to deal with. And again, like you said, easy to be like, all right, whatever. It's just, rip. But like, obviously, it affected her. And that's that becomes the storyline of the fight, unfortunately, because it actually was a good fight.
Yeah, it was a great fight. 97-93 twice. I didn't see that. Oh, that's a little bit closer.
No, it was 97-93, 96-94, and 95-95. I just watched it.
Yeah, all right. So a really close fight. The other stuff will get settled. I mean, it's all nonsense now. Like, I don't know what they'll see. I don't know who did it. I mean, you can make your assumptions. Will we ever find out who did it? Who knows? It was just an added wrinkle to an already, crazy buildup for these two ladies. And then, like, and make sure, women's sports, the WNBA. I don't know if you've been following along with this. Caitlin Clark, Angel Reese. Do you know anything about
it? I haven't, but you get the gist, right? Yeah.
Yeah, Caitlin Clark is revolutionizing WNBA. She's getting crazy attention. She is
draining threes, like breaking records. People are actually
watching the WNBA. People are actually going to WNBA games. And she's pretty much despised by the rest of the women in the WNBA.
Okay, so all right, so I'm on the same page because I don't follow, but I feel like everyone hates this girl.
Yes, which doesn't make any sense because all she's doing is raising the revenue of the league that they're in. That was, I wouldn't say it gets subsidized by the NBA, but like, okay, now they're actually making some money here, but they don't
I doubt they're actually making money now. Maybe they're making more money than they're losing less money than they were. But yes,
I heard that that there's figures out there. I'm not that privy to all of it, but like. They don't like Caitlin Clark because they feel like she's getting special treatment. And that's not the story, what I'm trying to get at. What I'm trying to get at is like there's a lot of cattiness. You see it, like she gets shoved and then everyone cheers. She gets shoved and Angel Reese stands up and claps. She gets bumped and the other players, that she just gets – it's just – men and women are different species. And they're just different. Like the lead up to this fight was like, you stole my trainer. Like you stole my trainer. Paint being thrown. I'm not saying guys are above any of this. The men are above any of this, but there's a certain level of cattiness that you see in women's sports that you're just like, yep, men and women are different species.
Yeah, I was speaking about this, during the week on the Pro Box shows, and I was talking to Paulie Malignaggi about this, and just like, trainers jumping camps happens a lot with the men, and majority of the time it's like. Yeah, dude's gonna pay me more money. Oh, okay, I get it.
Go out, win the fight.
Yeah, cool. I'm gonna beat your boy's ass. How about that? Okay, cool. That's where we keep it. Women are a little different, but I think
more to it though.
Yeah, I do too. And I think part of it is, I mean, there definitely could be more of it. I have no idea. I don't know the real details of it, but I do know that the way that Michaela Mayer approaches fights is she needs to create an enemy. She needs to create a bad guy. And I think a lot of it has to do with that is her. Cause she, listen, she's a great trash talker. She makes the buildups of these fights really, really good. Aside from being a very, very good fighter, good boxer. She makes the buildups very good by making everything personal.
And we see that in the men's side constantly.
We do. But I think
Lopez.
It's, yeah. So there are certain guys that need to create an enemy out of who they're competing against. Listen, Michael Jordan used to make enemies in the locker room.
Fake. I get it. Make them up.
They're make. Yeah. 100% fake. I get that.
Fabricate them.
I've been around a lot of athletes who needed to do that and needed to make the other guy their enemy. I was never like that. I'm like, listen, I can kick your ass whether I like you or I don't. It doesn't really make a difference to me. I'm looking to get paid and to beat you. But other people are not that way. So I understand it. But I'm going to make an entirely different argument on this. I don't want to talk so much about the cattiness. I don't want to talk about all this BS with the paint,
Let's
whatever.
Move on.
I want to move on to the fact that women's world title fights cannot be contested in 10 two-minute rounds. There's not enough time to separate yourself. Every single one of these fights is razor thin, and everyone screams, the loser screams, controversy. The winner screams, it was a good fight, I won. It's every single fight. Like, there's never, the only standout women's champion is Clarissa Shields. She beats everybody 10-0. Serrano knocks people out, but, you know.
Even
yeah.
She dominates, too, but that's two. It's two women.
It's two. Everyone else, it is razor thin, swapping titles every time they fight. These women could have fought that fight 10 times, and it would have been 5-5. It was that close. Every fight's like that. Guys, we cannot fight world title fights in 20 minutes. It's a 20-minute contest. How are you supposed to separate yourself? We need longer fights. We need longer rounds, whatever the case may be. Maybe we make it 10 threes. Maybe we make it 12 twos. I don't know. Maybe we take it 15 twos. 15 twos. Like, whatever. Like, we need more time. It's just not enough action. There's not enough competitive time to separate these people, these women.
Yeah, I agree so much. It's a debate we've had numerous times around women's boxing. It's almost like when you talk about women's boxing, you automatically go to the minutes. You go to the rounds.
It's 20 minutes. 20 minutes to be world champion.
It dominates the conversation. Yeah, it's just like, especially when you're at this level. Not every women's fight should be 3 minutes.
Because no, most should not.
Right. There are. So I think it's perfect balance. Like the 20 minutes, it's a sprint. And it makes it more frantic. And a lot of times these women's fights are you know, save the shows. You know, on Friday night, that the Mayer Ryan was the best fight of the night. You know, the
highest level
fight.
highest level contested.
That's what
fight,
I mean. Yeah. And it changes up the pace sometimes when it's fun and it's exciting. 20 minutes, boom, let's get in there and let's go. But when you're at this level, when you're at the Mayer level, who's contesting for in like a second weight class, you know, Sandy Ryan, world champion. Amanda Serrano has pushed the envelope to fight 3 minute rounds, and she has. And you're just a definite winner in those fights. I agree. It should be, we got to work on something here where we can have a compromise where some of the biggest fights, the highest level, needs to be more than 20 minutes because they're all the same. These rounds are so quick. It's almost like in the first five fights of a fighter's career, I call a lot of these fights for, I'm sure you do too, at Pro Box, but I call a lot of these MVP fights, these prospect fights. And they're, you know, it's like a highly touted prospect going up against like a journeyman in a 4-round fight. And these 4-round fights are really hard to win. You fought in some of them. Did you fight in a 4-round fight or did you go right to 8?
I had five 4-rounders, I think. I hated it.
You got to win that.
I was
first
always
round.
Worried because I was a slow starter. So like I was like really worried because that was coming from 10-12 round kickboxing fights. So I went from a 12-round kickboxing fight in my last fight to a 4-round boxing match. And I was like, all right, there's no feeling out here. We're just, it's basically, it's a step above amateur. Like, we're just battling. And like you said, you got to win that first round. God forbid you take you get hit with a flash knockdown. God forbid you lose a point. You know, it's like, all right, now I'm battling back for a draw at that point. So it's And I agree with you, Dan. I think we're seeing that with the women's championship level 10-round fights. If you're a championship main event, it's got to be 10 threes. It's got to be 12 twos. It's got to be something else. A lot happens in that last minute. I really think it needs to go to threes, you know, for 10 threes for a championship fight, because a lot happens in that last minute. That's where people really separate themselves. That's where fighters separate themselves and win rounds.
Good fight in the main event. Michaela Mayer gets the win. Gets her title. You know, she tried to beat Natasha Jonas and failed. Close fight. She lost a close decision to Alicia Baumgartner at 135. Now she's on the winning end of a close decision. And now she can look at some of the other names at 147. It's not so fast that she'll get a rematch with Sandy Ryan. Although, like, that there's drama, I man. Should. I mean, they there's should. Everything. Like, it's got attention. Like, I made a freaking video on it. I did a deep investigation on it. Like, there's interest in the fight. Was really good. It's not like there was a paint thing and all that other stuff, and the fight sucked. There was buildup, and the fight was good. So Michaela Mayer has a rematch with Sandy Ryan. She also has a rematch brewing with Alicia Baumgartner, who fought this weekend too on Brinks TV, which I didn't.
At what weight would they fight though?
Baumgartner has to move up. I mean, she's got
Baumgartner's 35. Michaela looks big at 47. She looks like a real 47 pounder.
They could figure. They women always figure out a way to change weights and do all that. But point is, Mayer has options. She's a champ at 147. She has two rematches with Bad Blood. So you're right. She definitely is good at creating enemies and elicits some type of emotion from boxing fans. That was the main event. We'll just go down the list here. The co-main event was Xander Zayas. Shuts out Damian Sosa. Sosa came into this fight potentially being one of the toughest opponents for Zayas. I don't know what you guys think of Patrick Teixeira at 33. But Sosa, 27 years old, throws 80 punches around, durable, was coming off of a really nice win, and Zayas disarmed him. Sosa did not throw 80 punches around. He threw half that. He didn't win a single moment of that fight. Zayas, we're kind of seeing what Zayas is, Chris. I mean, he is a volume puncher. He's a technician. He's really good. He might not be a one-punch knockout guy yet because he's only 22, but this is the best win of his career, and like I'm thinking, okay, perfect leap. Perfect step up, perfect performance from Zayas.
Guys, Xander Zayas is looking a lot like a young Chris Algieri in terms of style. If you really look at it, throws a lot of punches. He's a good jabber. He's a fitness guy. He's not a puncher. He's going to be winning decisions. He shuts guys off. I was shutting everyone off defensively. I never got hit. My first 10 fights, I literally didn't get hit. And then after that, you know, fights got a little more difficult as he stepped up. But you know, but they're still fun. You don't necessarily have to be a puncher to be a fun fighter to watch. And Xander is that. He's very fun to watch. This was a really impressive win. I called Damian Sosa's last fight. I was very impressed when he upset the apple cart and beat Marcus Valle, who was in his hometown too, threw a ton of punches, was very aggressive, very, very tricky and savvy in there. And Xander was able to shut all that down because of the physicality. Tall, long, wide shoulders, long reach. Kind of reminds me of a 154-pound Chris Algieri. Not going to lie.
Handsome.
Not going to lie. Great kid.
Shaved head now.
Look good. I like it.
That's right. I know that doesn't mean everything, but when I saw the shaved head, I was like, all right, he means business.
He's locked in.
Locked in.
He's locked in. Meaner. The betting lines changed when the shaved head came out.
It was two shaved heads. Sosa had one shaved head, too. I was like, oh, damn.
Yeah.
Won my parlay, by the way. Won my parlay. I picked over 8.5 for Zayas, over 8.5 for Carrington. Because I've been burned way too many times on Xander Zayas, thinking that he's a knockout guy.
Nope. If I ever talked to me, I sparred him. I know he wasn't a knockout guy. He's a great jabber. Good,
well, he had
combination
a few
puncher.
Coming up, but obviously the competition's really getting better because Top Rank knows what they're doing. And the parlay both overs was plus 170. So whoever tailed that, we won some money on Friday night. But yeah, Zayas gets the win. Looks damn good. Mm-hmm. You know, every round he's just doing something different in there. I hope that the fans out there will give him credit for this. Yeah, he didn't get the knockout, didn't get a knockdown, which everyone's looking for these days, like that red blood, you know, the red I want a knockout, I want a knockdown. How about just like, you know, not every fight is going to be like that. Not every fighter fights like that. He'll get that. He was 22 years old. You know, Tim Bradley made a good point. Like, he could grow into it being a puncher. I mean, he, you know, you can sit down on his shots. Like, Charlos weren't big punchers early on in their career. And then, you know, they learned to sit down on their shots. And all of a sudden, they're knocking guys out left and right. I mean, I hope Zayas gets to that level. We need stars in this sport. We need stars. We need guys to reach their potential and have this next wave. Because, you know, you look around, you know, all the stars in boxing are getting older. Terrence Crawford just turned 37 this weekend.
Yeah, I don't really expect Xander to grow into his power that way. I know the problem is that we think about Puerto Rican stars, they're all punchers, right? Tito, Cotto, those guys always hit hard. And there was never a time where they didn't hit hard. So they didn't develop into their power. They
you
had
know what I mean? Power. Like maybe he'll find his different techniques. I'm not saying either you got it or you don't sometimes with power, right? Like Tito had that hook. That's God given, but you can learn different techniques. You would know much better than me, but I've heard about it. I've read about it. I've seen it. If he is just what we saw on Friday night, a dominating fighter that has unbelievable technique at age 22 and is just only going to get better. Okay. This guy's going to be a very hard out at 154. He brought up Virgil Ortiz's name, which I like. I don't think it's ever going to happen. I don't think it's going to happen next year. But I like Zayas. Like, give us a name. Like, give us something that you're looking for. Don't be such a nice guy all the time. And this division's red hot. So give us a name. Get yourself in the mix there. He's not going to fight Virgil Ortiz, obviously, because of the politics. And Virgil's in line for some of the bigger names. But, he's highly ranked in the WBO, Zayas. I saw some names being floated out there, like a Vito Milnecki, who just got signed to Top Rank. I think that's one-way traffic.
It's a good fight. I like that fight.
I think Zayas kind of dominates him, no?
I mean, so last night separated them because Vito didn't look great and Xander looked awesome. But prior to that, it was Vito was looking really good and Xander was looking, he didn't look fantastic in his last fight, but he looked really good last night. So it's going to depend on who shows up. Vito's strong, man. He's big for the weight class. He puts on a lot of weight.
They can build that. That's a New York fight. I mean, Top Rank signed Vito Milnecki for a reason.
Yep.
From PBC, he's got some name recognition on the East Coast. That's some big time fights. Not like big names, but like PBC put Milnecki on some big cards. Put him on like national TV. Put him on Fox on Christmas Eve or Fox on Christmas Day or one of those big ones. So that's one name. Virgil Ortiz, Vito Milnecki. I saw our friend Chris Mannix throw a name out there. Callum Walsh. I don't know what you think of Callum Walsh. I think he's very, very overhyped by the UFC, Dana White. That is a washout. I think Zayas would paste him. And I don't think Dana, I don't think Tom Loeffler, I don't think UFC Fight Pass will do anything about putting them together. Because Callum Walsh is like the only thing they got going as of now over on that Fight Pass side of things. Like they're bringing him to Dublin. He's doing crowds there. Like he reminds me of, I could be wrong. Maybe you agree or disagree. Remember like John Duddy?
Yep.
Those types of guys where it's like they're in their own league. Like John Duddy was in his own little league. Like he fought at MSG in like crazy crowds. And like, was he ever a title contender? No, but he was just John Duddy. It's fun.
Just John Duddy sold out Madison Square Garden over and over and over again. Very carefully matched his entire career. Like would take no risks. And that's what I get it. What you're saying, like, they're not going to do anything with Callum Walsh like that. They're not going to put him in with a guy like Xander anytime soon, or even a Vito Milnecki. He's not going to stay far away from those guys. They're just going to build him. He struggled with a guy that we had on Pro Box a little while ago.
Not John Duddy.
No.
Callum John Walsh. Duddy was then hosting stuff for MSG. He'd like host shows, and that's not a slight on Callum Walsh, but it's just how I think he's being moved, like business wise. I just think that he's an attraction. Like his talent doesn't match up with him.
No, I mean the way going crazy in Dublin. Hyping him is crazy. It's just Ishmael VRL. The scores were not that close.
Struggled with who?
Callum Walsh struggled with Ishmael.
I have not been that impressed with Walsh.
Yeah.
I just think, I think he's a good kid and I think it's a good story, but like, you have Dana White pumping you up and, it's Dana's only boxer. And that's what's going to happen. But I saw that name thrown out there. I think Zayas is so far ahead of Walsh. I think Zayas is ahead of Milnecki. I don't think he's up there yet with Virgil Ortiz yet. But I do like him throwing those names out there. I don't know what will be next, but Top Rank definitely knows what they're doing.
They're going to be careful with Xander because of the potential for him being a Puerto Rican star to headline those June cards for the Puerto Rican Day Parade. Because Top Rank has always had those fighters. They tried to push Edgar Berlanga to be that guy. It didn't work out. They're looking for the next Cotto. They're looking for the next Tito Trinidad because those weekends were huge, huge for the sport, huge for the promotional company. So if there's a potential for Xander to be that guy, Top Rank is going to put the work in.
Those are some of my best memories growing up. We're going to Kodo fights on June 9th, June 10th. I was at Kodo Juda, which was just loud and was just like, wow, that is what boxing is about. And I just saw an anniversary this week, Kelly Pavlik versus Hopkins, AC 2008. Dude, got in the car with Jason Griggs, who you know, good friend of mine.
Yep.
Got in the car with two of my other friends. We drove from Morgantown, West Virginia to Atlantic City. 8-9 hours. Putrid drive. But we were going to have ourselves an HBO weekend with Bob Canobio. The whole nine. Going out to dinner. Going to the parties. Going to the fight. Awesome fight. Kelly Pavlik knocks out.
2008, you said?
2008.
Yep.
What a night. I wish those nights, though, happen, but who knows? Zayas can bring them back to the garden. He looked good.
The garden.
You know who did not look great? Bruce Carrington.
No, oh, he had a rough night.
This made me like, well, this stinks. Because like I said earlier, we need stars. We need these prospects to reach their highest potential so the sport of boxing can keep going. Bruce Carrington has it all. You know, great personality, power. You know, has Top Rank behind him.
All except one thing. And it's really important.
Got to fight. I'm not saying he can't reach that, Chris. I'm not saying he can't reach that. But he just did not look good in this fight with Sagawa, who, if you listen to our show last week, is a tough out. We told you that. You know, I took the over in this for a reason. I thought it was going to be a distance fight. A lot of people thought Sagawa won.
Yeah.
The 10th round was frustrating on both sides because I think the fight was hanging in a balance and neither guy went for it. I don't know. I think Carrington fought like all right, he had the fight in the bag, which is pretty frustrating for boxing fans. But, man, he has to go back to the drawing board. Stop talking about Inoue. Stop talking about a lot of these names at 126. Start switching up your game.
Guys, I was blown away at the Inoue talk and the way people are pushing him. I'm like, what do you – stop. Pump the brakes. I like the kid. He's doing a good job marketing himself, but pump the brakes. People are like, oh, could he be the next for Inoue? I'm like, what? No. What are you talking about? There are guys in these weight classes with deep, deep experience and world-class and world-titled. You know, you're struggling with a guy like Sagawa. Sagawa's tough, sure. He beat Ruben Villa's last fight, but how much of that is Sagawa versus how much is left of Villa? You know, no one's mentioning Villa in talking, you know, about fighting Inoue. And Sagawa fought really well. He's just a scrappy, tough, experienced dude. And he went out and physically strong, too. And I think we saw that. I mean, Bruce is a bigger guy, you know, the weight class, but he wasn't as strong. And, this is a lot of people. I was speaking to a lot of people who were there, and they said Sagawa won. They were saying that Sagawa won.
I mean, this is the most controversial fight of the night because the Meyer-Ryan one, well, all right, you could say Meyer.
Yeah, it was close, yeah.
Sagawa, I mean, there's a lot of people that thought Sagawa won. A
lot, yeah.
That's not good for Carrington. I don't know what you saw in there, like what he can change up. Did he get power happy in some of these stoppages that he got? Did he put the cart before the horse? Is it the horse before the cart? Cart before the horse.
Cart before the horse, because the horse is in front of the cart as it pulls it. So cart Thank before you. The horse.
Did he do that? Did Carrington do that? Does he looking at Inoue? I don't think he's gonna get Inoue next, but like
no, I don't. I don't think he was looking past what he had in front of him. I think he just overestimated how good he is compared to these guys that are out there. I think that you know, there's levels, but listen, there are tough journeymen everywhere, and they will. I've fought a bunch of these guys. They're a nightmare, and Sagat was a nightmare. And listen, dude, the special guys handle it, you know, and not saying that Bruce isn't, but like, dude, he's got 13 fights. 13 fights in a deep weight class. You got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
A lot of fights to make. You got to fight. You got to fight a lot more. You got to have a lot more fights.
This is a good thing. And it's not a great thing to struggle.
Listen, he didn't catch a loss. He didn't catch a loss.
But he got a win, and maybe it pumps the brakes a little bit. You know, but here's another thing, too. He's 27, and he's ranked highly, bro. This guy is ranked top 10 in every organization. Like, that doesn't happen often in boxing, because with these janky organizations having, you know, even the IBF has him 8. The other ones have.
But Dan,
two,
it shows you how whack these commissions, how whack these organizations are. Just because he's popular, he's in the top 10 for all of them. That's how it works. Doesn't based on skills. It's not based on merit. It's not based on performances.
Not
it's not based
top
on what
10,
you've
like
done.
Top two.
Yeah, it's wild. It just shows you
IBF
how greedy and how disgusting these governing bodies are. They just want stars. They don't care. As long as you're, they want to rank Jake Paul. They want to rank, you know, Ryan Garcia after he fails. They don't care. All they care is that the eyes are going to be there. They care about dollars. It's disgusting.
Makes me sick. Bruce Carrington, go back to the drawing board.
Here.
No, I feel you, bro. I feel the same way. I just like.
And that's no knock on Shushu. We love Lou Shushu over here.
Yeah, who knows how he will react to this. I mean, he seems like he's someone that reads the press clippings. He's on Twitter checking it out. So he'll get better from it. And then he'll get himself right back in there. So that was Friday night over on ESPN. Decent card. Saw some drama, some good fights, and all that. Friday afternoon, a bombshell, a lawsuit, a everything but defamation. Battery. Alleged fraud, unjust enrichment. Devin Haney is suing Ryan Garcia and Golden Boy Promotions for their April 20th fight, claiming battery, fraud, unjust enrichment, also named Golden Boy in this as well. He's seeking a lot of money back. He's seeking a lot of things. His pride restored, some money being restored. It's a crazy lawsuit. I read it. It's nuts, Chris. There's a lot of opinions here. There's people saying, I cannot believe that we're in a fight. One fighter is suing another fighter for battery. You agreed to it. But in the lawsuit, in the battery aspect of it, Haney at no time agreed to engage in a bout against an individual who had taken performance-enhancing drugs. His consent was limited to a bout held fairly and under the rules and of set forth above. I didn't even try that word. Thus, the fighting by Garcia was non-consensual. Devin Haney suffered damages in that he suffered physical injury, reputational damage, and will amount to millions of dollars, emotional and mental distress. There's also fraud and enrichment we'll get into too. But your initial reaction to Devin Haney suing Ryan Garcia?
This is lame as F. It's so
I
lame.
Am shocked, but that's your opinion.
This is lame. I understand cheating. I understand that, you know, there's no room for drugs in this sport. There's no room for peds. We have been talking about how, you know, Devin is getting like the brunt of all of this. And you're like, wow, this is the guy this guy was cheated against and the fans don't like him. It's because of this kind of stuff. Like, this is not going to get respect from anybody doing this kind of thing. And at the top of the show, I mentioned, you know, Marvin Hagler. Marvin Hagler's not suing nobody. You're going to the ring. I'm going to bust your ass. I'm going to fight. I'm going to beat you up. This is boxing. We can fight it out. We're allowed to fight. We're literally, and we get paid millions of dollars to do it. Go fight. Go fight it out. Don't go fight it in the courtroom. This is, I don't know. We got fighters suing each other now? Come on, man.
Okay.
You thought I was going to be different? You think I was going to be different?
I don't know what you're going to be. I hear your points. And the shock comes from how closely associated you are with PEDs, having fought a guy who was allegedly on them, and your knowledge of them. And your expertise on them, one of our most downloaded episodes ever, was when you pulled back that curtain on PED use. So I thought it would be a little different from you, but I understand the old school mentality that fighters have, and the fans too, because I found myself right in the middle of this, man. I posted something about anything that makes a fighter think twice about potentially doing PEDs, and especially the promoter too, which is a small aspect of this lawsuit, which who knows, might get thrown out, might not. We'll get into that in a second. But I found myself right in the middle of this because Ryan Garcia replied. Ryan Garcia replied to my tweet, called me goofy, called me all sorts of names, said I'm on the clown train. I took a tainted supplement from a man named Scooter that we all know has a pristine reputation in this sport.
Ridiculous to throw him under the bus.
Right. A guy that has worked with so many fighters and so many champions has a pristine
still
record.
Does. Currently works with guys. He worked with Jilei Zhang. That guy was tested right at the same time using the same supplements. It's ridiculous to try and throw that man under the bus. And it just shows you the lack of scruples that you know certain people have or don't have.
Right. So Ryan Garcia responds, calls me every name under the book, all his sycophants and his the simps. His fans are simps.
Simps.
Like the replies are embarrassing from these people. Don't worry, Ryan, you're gonna get him. This, that, and the other. Like you shouldn't even fight anymore. Blah blah blah. Pathetic. Absolutely.
I call them Swifties. I call them. They're like the Taylor Swift fan base of the boxing world.
It's incredible, and it's just so backwards. And now I'm starting to understand. We talked about this numerous times. I didn't even want to talk about this, but it's a big story in boxing. You know, we talked about why is Devin Haney hated so much. It's not one or the other. I think a lot of fans out there can't stand Haney. And now with this lawsuit, even more. And they also cannot stand Ryan Garcia. It's not a one or the other thing. It's they just don't like either of them. But they like Devin Haney, you know, they dislike Devin Haney more than they dislike Ryan Garcia. But some of the other aspects of this case. You talk about how they should fight it out in the ring. I still think they will. I still think if they make it to the ring again next year, it will be one of the biggest Haney Garcia 2 will be one of the biggest rematches of the last 20 years. It's up there with Cotto Margarito 2. It's up there with Golovkin Triple G, Golovkin Canelo 2. It's up there with all the Pacquiao trilogies. It's up there with Fury Wilder 2. There's so much buildup. It was a fun fight. It has everything. I still think that could happen. I don't know what this lawsuit's going to happen. I don't know if it's going to get thrown out, but I do think a precedent could be sent. I do think there's some things here. It's filed in New York State, and they don't mess around. Like, no. Who knows? Like, who if they feel that Ryan Garcia blatantly did PEDs, you know, blatantly went in overweight, took an IV, which is being floated out there. You know, this has all been reported. Ryan Garcia accepted a 1-year ban. Ryan Garcia paid a fine. That's almost admitting guilt. You know, he said it in the tweet to me. Like, I took a pain to supplement. His defense is, I took Osterine the day of the fight. There's no way you could do that. You failed 3 drug tests. You're suspended for a year. You're on the sideline right now. So there's not much that you can say to make yourself look good in all of this. But if a fighter now sees that I can be taken to court, or there's a stiffer penalty than just a 1-year ban where guys just fight twice a year. And the promoter, which I think is a big part of this, Chris, the Golden Boy being named in this, the promoters now might put in their fighter contracts with their own fighters. You know, if you pop for PEDs, we're not associated with that. We're not going down with the ship here. It's on you. Yep. I don't know if it will reach that. I don't know. This might get thrown out. There's a lot of Twitter attorneys telling me that this is going to get thrown out. Who knows? Once it gets into the hands of a judge, it takes one judge to look at this. So yeah, I understand what you're saying, Chris. I understand your point. Like, this is – it's a little bit embarrassing for Haney. And one last thing before we get your thoughts. Devin Haney and his dad do not care what you think.
Nope.
They never have. They don't care how – if you don't like the way he fights, if he cruises to a decision win and the whole crowd's booing, he does not care. So, therefore, he doesn't care about this either. So, if he gets some money out of this, if he can restore some of his – pride and restore some of his finances, he's going to do that. His dad is already saying that Devin is the face of boxing because he's taking on PED use and he's going to be looked at as a pioneer. They don't care. The Haneys do not care what you think.
No, they don't, and they shouldn't. And I think that's been a very strong stance that they've taken, is that they're going to do what they need to do to move forward. And it's, you know, that's the way to be. But yeah, in terms of this, in terms of, you know, the attack on the PEDs and it's a big problem in the sport, but I'm telling you, it's not going to change, Dan. It's not going to change. It's been around for, PEDs have been around for a long time. And until there is a good way to test for them, they're always going to be there. And there's no universal way being tested. There's no, it's like when the UFC got in, what do they got? They got Nowitzki came in and he was doing the USADA testing, and it was, became like a really, really big thing. And that's when all, you know, the idea that the PEDs kind of stopped. I think that went out the window now, because I think it's better. I think they prefer having the guys on PEDs anyway. But you know, with boxing, until there's a universal organized body that can oversee and look at these things and have teeth, nothing's going to change. So yeah, you can say that, yes, this is going to set a precedent. Now you're going to, you know, you, the promoters are going to think twice about putting on the guys who are going to, who possibly could be bullshit. That's all going to still happen. It's not going to make a difference. At the end of the day, this is just for Devin Haney to get some money in his pocket to throw a little more shade on Ryan Garcia. You know, he already got the loss removed from his record. So he's still undefeated, quote unquote. He already did that. You know, they have no qualms about going to court and getting things done in terms of this kind of stuff. So I'm not surprised that now they're coming down with this. But I don't think it changes a damn thing.
We'll see. Yeah, we'll see. If it depends on how this is, if it's thrown out, then Haney is just going to look horrible. He already looks pretty bad, but I mean, yesterday I'm looking on Twitter. I was on Twitter too much yesterday. I wasn't doing much. It was raining. I was replying to people. I was in the weeds.
Bad idea.
Ah, horrible, horrible day. It gets better. We'll have a nice happy ending at the end of this episode. But Haney might be the most hated fighter that I can remember. Maybe since Mayweather. Like, yeah. The memes, like, Mayweather came along towards the end of, like, his end was all right when the internet and, like, Instagram and became really popular and all that. So, like, Mayweather didn't get memed too much. Yeah, you know, he has that one where 50 Cent says he can't read and all that stuff. Haney, the memes on Haney and the hatred, I saw so many crazy things yesterday. Him as like a baby and like him, you know, him and his dad, like people go to these crazy extents to make these graphics and these, like, it's insane. Like every name in the book being called. So he's already lost in the court of public opinion. So now he's going to the actual courts, the real courts with these judges. And who knows if they rule in his favor, you don't think it could change. Like, you don't think it could change the way we, like, PEDs are looked at, or like if fighters can do that? If nope. Interesting.
No, I don't think so.
Really? No. But like, if you're a fighter and you do PEDs, in your head, the way you justify it, or I would, was like, I gotta win this fight. If I win this fight, I make more money in my next fight. All right, I'm gonna cut a corner. I'm gonna take this Molotov cocktail, which make me a Hulk. I get caught. You know, whatever. They'll suspend me for a year, if that. All right, I'll sit out. I won't fight. I'll go sit on my millions, and I'll chill. That's what it is now. With this, it could be, oh, man, I got to pay a crazy fine. I could potentially have some type of a record, or I could get in trouble in that aspect. I don't know, man. I maybe I'm being really optimistic or looking at
You're being wildly optimistic. And let me tell you why. I'm going to poke holes in all of that. So the reason the fighter's doing it is not because I need to win this fight. He thinks that everyone's on it.
Right.
He's thinking that guy's on it, so I need to level the playing field, so I need to be on it. They're not doing it because, like, oh, I'm going to go smash this guy because now I'm going to be a Hulk. It's like, no, he's a Hulk. I want to be a Hulk too. And then it was going to come down to my skills. Because you're not thinking like, I need this to beat the guy. I'm thinking like, this guy's got it, man. I gotta level up. I gotta make sure that we got an even playing field. That's the truth. And that's why it's not going to make a difference. And that's why guys are still going to do it. Because I'm telling you, dude, so many of our top athletes in our sport are on drugs. It is out of control. And it's not going to stop. And the highest earners are the guys that are willing to take these risks. And they're the ones who are not going to get in trouble. Floyd Mayweather used to bring $1 billion to Las Vegas when he fought. $1 billion to the weekend in Las Vegas in terms of everything going on around that, around his fight. People coming in, the betting, the hotels, everything, the arena, everything. That's pushing the economy of a city. You think a little Osterine in the system is going to stop that fight? Hell no.
The highest level, yeah. I get it. I know.
It's not going to stop, dude. Peds are rampant. Unfortunately.
We'll see. I mean, it is boxing, but it is now out of the hands of boxing. It's not like in the hands of Mauricio Suleiman or any of these guys. It's now in the hands of a judge. So I don't
in
know.
New York City, which is serious, a serious place.
Right. New York City and the New York Commission already are the ones that handed down the suspension to Ryan Garcia, the 1 year, which is a pretty big suspension. Like Canelo did the clenbuterol, whatever, 6 months. Like the 1 year is pretty crazy. So when he calls me all these names and says I'm on the goofy train and all this stuff because, you know, I didn't, you failed tests. I don't know what to tell you, man. You said you took a tainted supplement. You failed 3 drug tests. I don't know how, but you did. This guy, Eric McCracken, who is a good follow on Twitter. He is a combat sports lawyer who opines on, gives his expertise on a lot of things. He's big in the UFC, so he's constantly talking about the antitrust lawsuit that's playing out right now. But he chimed in on this. He tweeted, a lot of people dumping on the Haney versus Garcia doping lawsuit. In New York back in the 80s, court found that it was criminal assault when Resto removed padding from his gloves against Billy Collins Jr. Not a stretch for a court to view unlawful doping in the same light. Now, I understand taking padding out of your gloves is different than PEDs. Like, one of them is way more just vile than than the other.
But there is it, though, if you really look at it? Like,
I don't know. I mean, that's some... I know what you're saying, Chris. Say
it. You're you know, if you're using pads, you're creating a situation where, listen, the sport's violent, the sport's dangerous, the sport's deadly even. You know, you got guys who are professionals at hurting people. When you're taking in something, an additional asset to you know, a pad or performance enhancing drug, like, you know, you're taking, you already got weapons. Our fists are weapons. People die when things are natural. And now you're taking an extra added bonus and making you quote unquote superhuman to cause someone damage. We're punching people in the brains. Like, that's what our goal is to hurt people and knock people out. You add pads to the mix. And yeah, it is a form of assault. I get it. I'm not saying this is like not warranted by any means. If anything, it 100% is. You are assaulting someone with a deadly weapon that's enhanced and is illegal and it's unfair. But it's just a weird precedent. I don't know where it falls, but
it's so weird seeing a fighter sue another fighter for battery in a fight.
Yeah, sounds strange.
It does sound strange. This saga is never going to end.
You know what it is? I think it's just the terminology, because we don't have anything for it. So, like, battery just does, it makes it sound like ugh.
Consensual, but if it was like non-consensual, yeah. Devin Haney did not consent to this beating.
But I get, but again, this is just because it's the first time this has ever happened, and this is how legal terms are thrown around. But there should be some kind of precedent. There should be some kind of law that, yeah, if you know, listen, if you do pop, and you know, in a fight, that I can sue you for whatever that may be. Maybe it is assault. Maybe it becomes assault. Like, if you call it assault with a deadly weapon, you know, instead of battery, I mean, that's a little different. I don't know. I'm speaking out of my knowledge base. I'm not a legal expert by any means.
No, none of us are. But if you're on Twitter, people think they are. The freaking people that were replying to me are absolutely hilarious. I got the biggest kick. I didn't reply back to Ryan Garcia because I'm not going to, like, whatever. Like, but the replies are hilarious. If you go check them out on Twitter.
I keep thinking about you on the Goofy train. I think that's pretty funny.
Dan, yes. Join the Goofy train.
That's pretty funny. Listen, sometimes I could jump on the Goofy train for a couple stops. So what? Kill
my
me.
My dad texted me and goes, Ryan Garcia didn't, he goes, well, it looks like Ryan didn't like your tweet. I was like, oh God.
There we go.
Twitter. And I'm on the Goofy train, and I'm not in lockstep with Ryan Garcia because he failed drug tests.
We should make a little cartoon of you jumping on the Goofy train. I think that'd be really funny.
The crazy train with Ozzy crazy Osbourne, train. The Goofy train.
Yeah.
Do we want to keep going with this? No. The enrichment part of it is interesting, because that's the one part that a lot of people will argue. And, you know, you have brought those up numerous times on the show, is like, he's claiming that, you know, Haney's claiming that his reputation and his future earnings took a big hit because he fought a guy on PEDs, which you can argue, because that purse bid with Sandor Martin was low. So that part I can kind of see. Fans don't care, though. Fans do not. They look at it, Haney as a rich guy. They don't see that in there. But that's a part of this lawsuit, too. So it's threefold. There's battery, there's fraud, because apparently Garcia signed paperwork that he would fight drug-free and he would make weight. He did neither. Mm-hmm. And then the
making weight thing is a big problem for me. That's always been a big problem for me.
Bro, it was just like, that's what I mean. Like, it was so blatant that week. Like, his behavior, blatantly strange. Yep. Blatantly missed making weight. The PEDs, 3. That's pretty blatant. So I don't know. The judge might look at that. The judge might not know boxing. The judge might just look at all that.
Oh, it's only 3.5 pounds. I love that argument. Everyone's like, oh, it's only 3.5 pounds. Guys, that's crazy.
Which is egregious.
Egregious. Like, it's that's so much.
How will this all play out? We shall see. It is a saga that's not going away anytime soon. Chris, I'd like to end the show on a positive note. I'd like to end the show on a happy note. You know, we talked about drive-by paint attacks, Ryan Garcia calling me names, all his sycophants.
Goofy train,
all his fans piling on top of me on that goofy train. So, you know, it was a weird weekend, but it was also a time where my weekend was made because...
Yeah, there was hate spurl down you, and there was also love. So let's cover the love
in a nutshell. I mean, come on, there's good and there's bad. But we got a message on Instagram from a loyal listener from Belgium. This guy is the man. He messaged us. We get a lot of messages, but you know, a lot of times they'll say, you know, I love the show. Keep it up. And okay, that's awesome. This one was a little deeper and almost brought a tear to my eye. Hi, Dan. Hi, Chris. I am not used to writing fan mail, but in this case, I cannot resist the urge to write you. Yesterday evening, I have fought my first amateur bout. Being a 36-year-old family man working in finance, it wasn't easy, but I still managed to win against a young 20-year-old lion. What I wanted to say is that perhaps you don't realize how much impact the Inside Boxing Live podcast has on some of the listeners. I never miss an episode, and the passion you guys have for the sport is really contagious. Listening to you in the hours before my fight kept my nerves under control and pumped me up for the start. I guess I wanted to say thank you. Keep up the good work. I mean, come on.
Wow. That's come a great on, message. That is really, I love that guy. That was really cool.
It's so
very,
cool.
Very heartfelt.
Heartfelt. The guy is sitting in the locker room, probably nervous, scared out of his mind, fighting a young 20-year-old. And he is listening to Inside Boxing Live to calm his nerves.
That is awesome. That's thank you. Thank you for listening, but also for sharing that sentiment. And congrats on the win, man. That's cool.
Congrats on the
36
win.
Years old, taking his first fight. That's something.
That's awesome. I got a lot. I posted it on my Instagram. I got a lot of messages from people out there that were like touched by it. A lot of messages by guys out there that are like, yo, I'm also training and I also go to the gym with young lions. And, mm-hmm. you know, that's good to see that someone else out there is doing it. You know, forget about like the whole listening to our show and all that, but just seeing, you know, people out there that are trying something new or like taking like a leap of faith. I messaged the guy that sent us this and asked him if he'd mind if we read it. And he said, no problem. That would be an honor. To be specific, you guys were talking about Dubois coming out of the dressing room, confident and ready for war. And I thought the same thing in my head. Ha ha.
That's awesome. Well, it worked. It worked, man. So I talk about, you know, fight week is all about psychology and fight day, especially. So,
dude, if I was a young fighter, if I was like a guy like this guy, I would listen to this show because they can hear from you, like get the insight of, you know, stepping in there and doing all that. A lot of messages I get were
in the business. We talk a lot of business, too. So I think that would be really beneficial.
Got to cover everything. I do get a message over and over from this one guy who says, tell Chris to write a book on training and regimen and boxing training. So
That would be the Champion Lifestyle could be a good book. It's not,
it could be
not a
like
bad
a
idea.
Video series. I think if we ever get
I have
back
a couple
the
ideas.
Again.
I want to write the bad side of the boxing business with my own personal experiences, which I'm sure I'll get sued for, but it'll be worth it to get it out there.
Lawsuits, baby.
Yeah.
It's hot right now in the streets.
I want to write a children's book, too. I want to write a children's book. Wow. I've got an idea about that one. I've been working on it. But
wow. Children's book, life of boxing book. Mm-hmm. And then I think
and
this
maybe,
like,
maybe a training book.
I think we should get back to the training videos. Like we did the... You know, the 1 minute video on like how to throw a 1, 2, 3, 4, stuff like that. Maybe people would be interested in. But next time we're in the gym together and we do one of these breakdowns, we'll.
It's about time. We haven't done one of those in a while.
I know. I want to do one for Bivol Beterbiev, but we're just running out of time, which that fight is October 12th.
Oh, it's so crazy. It's this close.
I'm
so
flying
crazy.
Back from Puerto Rico that day. I'm working a fight for MVP and I'm going to have an Algeria situation on my hands.
You're going to be working, flying in and getting right to work.
My flight lands at like 4:15. The fight's probably going to start at 6. I'll be good.
And you still won't have a tan, even coming back from Puerto Rico.
There is talk of us staying. There is talk of a couple of us staying in San Juan for until Monday or Tuesday. So if that's the case,
that's cool.
Just watch it from the pool.
I might have to come to Puerto Rico then. Get my
on PPV. It's on PPV.com. This fight is on ESPN Plus. How do you like them apples? All right, everyone.
Over to San Juan. Come on, Puerto Rican fans. I might have to do it.
Come on down. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be a great. I mean, Serrano's going to be there. Jake Paul's going to be there. Your boy. There's going to be a lot of prospect. It's a prospect card, but all Puerto Ricans. They just signed.
That's cool. Very cool.
Jean-Paul Rivera, who I'm very high on. Really good prospect.
Oh, I like him. Yeah.
Yeah, he just got signed to MVP. He's fighting on this card. Crystal Rosado, who is Serrano's managed by Amanda Serrano. She's fighting on it. Some others as well. So I think there's going to be some Puerto Rican fighters too to show up. It's in Quaguas. It's about 30 minutes south of San Juan. So it's going to be awesome. That's next week. Yeah. All right, Chris. I'm going to a Post Malone concert.
This guy, they're all over the place. Are you going to take the Goofy train there, or are you just going to just jump on the subway?
The LARR. The Goofy train. One-way ticket, baby.
I'm going to use that. I'm going to use that from now on. That's a good one.
Ryan Garcia on the Goofy train. I'm going to see Post Malone, Yankees playoffs. Knicks got Karl-Anthony Towns. I'm happy New Yorker right
now. Let's go.
Let's go. Enjoy your week, everyone. We'll be back later. And protect yourselves at all times. Keep your hands up at all times. Hey, you can DM us. DM us some great stories like that so we can keep us going.
Yeah, so don't stay out of the DMs anymore, guys. If you're gonna
come
send
on, come
if
in
you're
the DMs.
Send positivity, keep it flowing.
Keep it coming. See you next time.